Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife, my co-host, the cowgirl herself, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey,
my
there.
Best friend. Great to see you. Producer Andy Lara.
Quack.
Quack. I forgot to give you a shout out last episode. Sorry. they're doing the flying bee.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, by the time this is Mother's Day episode, so I mean, hopefully we're still in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Fingers crossed for y'all. Speaking of Mother's Day, today we have on the podcast Heather Land.
The hilarious.
Very funny.
Multi-talented.
Multi-talented Heather Land comedian. Heather, you probably know from online. This Sunday has a Nate Land Presents coming out on this very YouTube channel, on the Nate Land YouTube channel. So be sure to check that out and follow her. And we have a nice chat. We talk about church life a little bit, growing up, getting married young, some life's twists and turns. We talk about how she got big, kind of blew up online, and it was just one Snapchat filter that changed her life. What her life is looking like now as an empty nester, touring, a little bit of menopause stuff in there.
Yeah,
it's
we
great
had a good
episode.
Time. I had one question I wanted to ask her, and I didn't.
What was it?
It was about.
I'll answer it for her.
I wanted to know how she met her podcast co-host.
Oh,
they are both named Heather.
Oh,
so that it's like call Heathers. Or
well,
something.
Melissa,
right now. And I just remembered that question, which you know it's a little too late, but that happens.
It was gonna be a banger of a
question. Oh yeah, she was gonna be like, "I'm so glad you asked me this." But it was a great episode.
Yeah,
it was really fun to talk with her. She's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, happy early Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Happy early Mother's Day to you, Melissa.
Thank you.
You'll be spending your Mother's Day in Las Vegas.
Woo! Girls trip.
I also
the
will
volleyball
be doing
tournament.
Yeah.
Volleyball tournament.
I will also be doing comedy shows this weekend in Las Vegas if you're in Vegas and looking for to do with your mom. later this month, I'm in Birmingham, Atlanta, Columbus. We're getting into this.
You said happy Mother's Day and then went straight into
I'm going to go
days.
Back. I'm, no, I'm sorry. Do you know
it's
how
funny.
We pay for
it's
your Mother's
funny.
Day gifts?
It's funny.
These shows. I'm going to bring it back in. It was just a natural segue.
Just making funny.
Summer and Beyond. Louisville, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Albuquerque, Denver, Eugene, Springfield, Columbia, Ontario, Bakersfield, Irvine, Omaha, Des Moines, Jacksonville, Orlando, Fresno, Dayton, Rochester, Albany, Syracuse, Brea, San Jose, Lowell, Naples, Tampa, Huntsville, Grand Rapids, Detroit, San Diego, Indianapolis, California. There you go.
Indianapolis, California.
Indianapolis, Indiana. Is what I meant to say there.
All right.
Very nice city, nice comedy crowds, very uncreative name. Hello, everybody. We live in California Town, California. I suppose the same thing could be said for New York City, though. So there you go. Indianapolis, Indiana. It's not,
Okay.
Gary, Indiana.
Yes,
Gary.
Yes. You just lost me with the California Town.
Yeah.
I was so
Happy
confused.
Mother's Day, Mel.
I'm plugging Patreon. We have our next June... A Zoom hang.
Melissa would like you to buy tickets to my comedy show
May
or join
12th.
Our Patreon for Mother's Day.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
Melissa, this is your 18th, 19th. This is your 19th Mother's Day as a mom.
Yes. Just expand.
What are the vibes?
Firstborn son was born on Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. Mother's Day is about sharing holidays with your firstborn.
Melissa, walk through the emotions of you became a mother on Mother's Day.
Yes.
19 years ago. This will be your first Mother's Day without him.
Boo. No, it's literally always been about his birthday.
Yeah.
Which I love. That's motherhood.
Yeah.
You know, motherhood is about your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one tells you how to navigate your first Mother's Day without a kid around.
Well, I already did my first Easter without him.
But this is Mother's Day.
It's the same.
Yeah?
It's the same. It's a holiday. Yeah.
And it's his birthday.
We did Gloria's birthday without him, Claire's birthday without him, Easter, now Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I'm literally going to be at a volleyball tournament.
Yes.
So
you will be distracted by whistles.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, walking, it'll be funny, walking through the casinos will have similar noise pitches to the volleyball, just...
Visually, and...
It's going to be very stimulating. Volleyball tournament, yeah. Walking into a casino, into mm-hmm. a... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you...
Yeah, similar vibes.
Do yeah. you... Do you still care about Mother's Day? What do you want for Mother's Day this year, Melissa? Do you want me to not ask that question? Some moms are like, you should know.
I thought you were going to ask me, like, what should you tell moms to do for Mother's Day? And
would you like me to ask you that?
I would,
Mel,
like to say that you...
What should you tell mom? Mel, what would you tell moms to do for Mother's Day?
I would say that you need to think in advance.
Yeah.
And go, like, am I going to be, like, jaded and mad if I'm at a volleyball tournament?
Yeah.
For my kid? Because if I am, then I need to say what I want.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
I'm doing Mother's Day the weekend before the volleyball tournament.
Yeah.
Or I'm doing XYZ, you know? Or send links.
Yeah.
You know? I want this for Mother's Day.
I was saying, your husband, I'm glad to hear this because I've done nothing before and you've gotten upset. And other times you're like, I don't want to do anything. And
yeah.
then sometimes I've gotten you gifts and you're like, I'm going to return this. And I wish you wouldn't have gotten this. When did you get the, you know?
I do think, I try to be like, I would like to think that I, after 20 some years of marriage, that I can be like, thank you for getting me this. You won't be offended if I return it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't get you anything for Christmas. You told me not to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I always have a couple, you know, I have a list.
Yeah.
I have a list going of like
boots,
things that I need or want, you know?
Yeah. Breakfast in bed.
Breakfast in bed. Of course. Flowers. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to Vegas. I've hiked a lot on Mother's Day with you, and I do enjoy that.
Do you feel like Mother's Day is one of those holidays that has gotten negatively affected by social media?
No.
Okay.
I think it's safe.
Yeah.
I think it's been safe.
Mother's Day has been marked safe from Instagram.
Yeah, like, I think, like, Sweet 16s and proms, like... gender reveals, baby showers, like
college
birthday
drop-offs,
parties,
yeah,
college announcements. Some of that stuff has kind of lost some of, like the basic milestone from the internet. Mother's Day, no,
yeah,
I think it could still, I don't know,
still has a chance to get ruined.
Still has a chance to get ruined. Yeah,
this is the year.
Mm-hmm. But I think in general. You know, you're not doing it for social media. You're supposed to celebrate the moms in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want as a mom on Mother's Day? Not for all moms, for you. And I'm not asking like, I'm your husband, what do you want me to get you? But just genuinely, you're like, this is how I hope to feel and have, this is what I would like to happen on Mother's Day.
Right.
Because it changes year by year.
It does change because I think sometimes you want a break. As when they're little, maybe, and maybe when they're older, you're like, just come around, please.
Yeah.
You know, your children. Like, you want to be around your children. Recognized is nice, like, by your spouse and kids. You know? Like, a general thank you.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So, social media.
No. Like, I guess that's the feeling seen. Like, it's a hard job.
Yeah.
Appreciate the work.
Yeah. Great.
The care.
You heard it here first, everybody.
Speaking of the mother in my home, I cannot get her to stop buying animals. Guys.
I saw baby chicks.
Yeah.
There's a duck. some decks.
So we had to replace our decks that we lost, fed to the local client residents of the neighborhood.
Coyote community.
Yes, the coyote community is what I'm referring to. Those of you know. So we ended up. So here's, if you don't know, you know, when you get ducks from like a person in the neighborhood or in the area that you know that raises them, mm-hmm. you can't have like a bunch of males like with your duck flock or whatever yeah. it's called. A gaggle, I think is what
that's
a group of ducks is called a gaggle.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So we ended up getting two females and four males. Mm-hmm. So ultimately meant we're gonna have to get rid of these four males or three of these at some point in time. So in doing so, she realized, oh, well, we need more females. So then she goes and
buys. The ratio's off.
We buy from a hatchery, so we get four females. And then she didn't mention it also was coming with six chickens. So then there are six chicks added to this list of four ducks. So, you know, that was a big, like, oh, all right, they're all coming today. Great. So, you know, now, yes.
Now they're all getting dropped off.
I don't even have the number for you in my head about how many birds I have in my yeah. house now at this point.
You have a gaggle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Andy.
So this morning, we've been going back and forth with someone in the San Diego area that could rehome these three male ducks. She was supposed to pick them up on the weekend. Was being weird over the communication, like just kind of like, oh, I'll be up there.
It's
maybe
like a
I won't.
Facebook Marketplace.
Totally, it
situation.
Is. Facebook Marketplace yeah. situation. She can't pick them up. I had to like wrangle these three ducks into like a cage so she can get them off my doorstep. She never does not show her. We texted her too late. So then I realized, oh, she lives close to here. I can drop them off on the way to coming to the studio today. So we contact her. She says that's great. You guys. I am not convinced that she is not going to eat these ducks. There is a vibe.
Well, now we know what your wife wants for Mother's Day. A duck dinner.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
So if my ducks aren't cooked in the playhouse, yeah. my actual ducks might be.
Need to get your ducks in a row, buddy.
I was going to say it.
Yeah,
I was going to say it.
It was too easy.
Yeah.
Well, good luck
yeah.
with that gaggle, thank buddy. I believe that's a new popular dice game, gaggle. That's so funny, man. All right, everybody. Enjoy this podcast episode. Enjoy those ducks, Andy.
And happy Mother's Day
happy
to
Mother's
all
Day.
The moms.
Bye.
Bye.
Nice to, like I said, meet you. You know, I've certainly seen your stuff, and I don't know why we. It's strange to
it's
me that we haven't
that
crossed
haven't
paths, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I totally agree. It's a weird. It's a weird career. I'm yeah. constantly meeting new people yeah. that have been
just
out there for a lot longer than me.
And,
so.
And just everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
So much in common and mutual folks.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is yeah. nice. Are you, if you're not home, you're at a very nice Airbnb or huge
yeah,
hotel
I'm
suite.
I'm in Fort Lauderdale, actually. I'm staying with my managers for a few days doing some meetings. And so, yeah, I'm here at their house and they set me up. And
yeah.
It's a great little getaway. Yeah.
I love that.
That's nice.
I also read, because, you know, I was Wikipedia-ing you.
Yeah.
And just all about you guys. And maybe this is for like not a podcast combo, but just y'all's history. And I think maybe you doing youth, y'all met at like in a youth service or whatever, mm-hmm. Youth group. But a lot of similarities, I think, between me and you guys. So maybe we should all go to dinner one night.
I'd love that. Yeah.
Talking out.
We'd be totally. Yeah, we met in church youth group
in Washington State.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
what denomination? Can I ask that? Is that a
We were non-denominational. We were in the, you know, that era of like 90s.
The denomination
church.
Of. Non-denomination. Non-denomination. Yeah, exactly.
That's a very funny. You're like, okay, so we're non-denominational. And that means this is what we believe. And these are our distinctions. You're like, so you're a denomination. So that's
exactly.
what a denomination is.
That's exactly what you are.
What about exactly. you?
I grew up Assembly of God, so very non-denominational adjacent,
mm-hmm.
And went to, I don't know if y'all are a little younger than me, but there was a big revival in Pensacola called the Brownsville Revival in the 90s, okay. early 2000s.
Okay.
And I went to Bible college there.
Oh.
Married a youth pastor. It didn't go well. But
yeah,
yeah.
Sorry, the Bible thing,
I was a worship leader for a long time. So yeah, go
I don't
ahead
know
and
why
laugh.
I'm
there's more to laugh at than just that. I promise.
I think this has to do with the dinner we're gonna have together.
Yeah,
exactly. I think you're right. My husband's in San Diego right now. So
oh really?
Know, maybe we should wrap that up. He's a helps run a production company, so they've got a gig out there. So,
okay, yeah. Great.
Nice.
Yeah, that piqued our producer's interest.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of youth pastors not known for their maturity.
Maybe that's what happened to my marriage. Maybe that was it.
In my experience, there was really two genre of youth pastor. There was the, hey, I want to be in ministry, and this is the only age-appropriate
position
for me to minister
exactly.
to.
Yeah.
And then there was group number two, which was like the guy who just loved youth group and was like...
Never understood those guys,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, and they're just like, this is my thing. Can we keep the games going? I love youth group.
Right.
And
right. that,
basically and, a PE teacher.
Yeah, that's
exactly. Wanted to stay young forever. Yeah, that guy.
The church's PE teacher is very funny, Melissa.
Wow. Take that and run with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's
some good content.
That's very funny.
Oh, that's so true. I actually, when I went to Bible college, I was like, God, anything but a youth pastor. Like, please no. And, I did it anyway, and I don't even think he told me to do it. I just did it on my own.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
it didn't go well.
You mean someone you quickly got married in Bible college? That's a tale as old as time.
I mean, I was only there for my MRS degree. That is the truth.
Oh, the Mrs.
yeah, 100%.
Did you, the ring before spring? That was the...
Or your money back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Engaged in spring, married by the end of summer. You know, let's get to it.
Mel went to a Christian college as well.
I did. I up in Seattle. Yeah.
It was Methodist, but you know, they were
Free Methodist.
Free Methodist. I'm sorry.
Please be clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, there's nothing free about that college. Heyo.
Well done.
Yeah. So it is, you know, I remember I know you just did, filmed with Nate Land, and you have your Nate Land special coming or set coming out on Mother's Day, which congrats. Yep. That's great. We're going to release this right around there
awesome.
As well.
Yeah.
Some synergy here in our promotion of Nate Land with Nate Land. But I remember talking to Nate about, you know, there are versions, even though there are a lot less church folk in the Northwest, there are just versions of this same thing happening everywhere, which is, you know, in church, going to the Christian school, meeting someone. Sometimes the relationship, I mean, there were a lot of couples our age in college and high school. They got married, and like every other marriage statistic, it was about a 50-50 endeavor.
Right.
You know,
yes,
so
I relate.
Yeah.
I relate. And strangely enough, you don't, nobody, none of us went into it like, we're going to get a divorce. But yet, why did we not see the signs? I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
We were young. Yeah.
We were young and dumb. And yeah.
We didn't know what a red flag was.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up, my mom was an addict. You would think I would have been able to see some signs, but I clearly was not.
Yeah.
So here we are learning things at 50.
How old were you when you got married?
23.
Yeah.
The first time.
Mm-hmm. The first time,
I'm happily remarried.
Yeah, yeah,
now
yeah.
Now that I know more things.
Well, yeah. I use the, I will give almost any human an excuse for many endeavors and mistakes. Of just like, you literally didn't have a fully developed brain yet. Like, you were still growing.
Don't you think it should be illegal?
Yeah, that's, I have a joke about it, and especially I recently recorded, like, it's great about having kids. It's crazy you're even allowed to get married, and especially have kids that young. Like, you're not allowed to rent a car till you're 25.
Right.
And they'll just, they'll let us get married.
You can reproduce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just hand you the baby.
Cool.
Go home.
Right. I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, and you've been remarried for how long? You're in this marriage?
Yes, I got married in 2020.
Yeah.
So I went on my first comedy tour in 2018, mm-hmm. and he was my production manager. And I thought he was super hot.
Yeah.
He still is. He's a lot younger than me. And so I was like, but then I was like, so we got married and yeah. we have a wonderful marriage. Yeah, it's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that for you.
Amazing.
Yeah. And he's in San Diego right now.
He's in San Diego.
Yeah. COVID wedding and love that.
Yeah. COVID wedding. It was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, you get to
whittle down the guest list. You know,
absolutely. It was perfect. We're like, oh, sorry. You know? So yeah, 50, 60 of our closest folks, and it was great.
Yeah, I love that. Well, congrats. Yeah. Happy for you.
Thanks.
So I have some questions. I think that you and I think there's some crossover things that we get, like question. One of the things though that I'm very interested in here for you before we anything that's super late is so before you were and I get this question a lot because I used to be in ministry as well. And I don't like I don't ever have like a clear answer to the transition. So I don't always love talking about like what led to that because it wasn't a super clean like I was a youth pastor that led to comedy because it was not like
right.
that. Mm-hmm. But what the common denominator, it seems like from you, is you're creative. You have things inside. Yeah. You want to make things. And, right. you know, as a, you know, as a mom, as a wife, as an individual, as a job, it seems like you've done a pretty good job and you really carve out time to be creative. Yeah.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah. I've created a beautiful illusion for you.
See, creative.
I wish I carved out more time for it. I mean, the truth is, for me, my transition into comedy was a little bit cleaner, if you okay. will, if that's the right word, because I'd never wanted to be a comedian. I still don't know if I'm a comedian, if you want to know the truth. I mean, I was a worship leader for, you know, like almost 20 years, and mm-hmm. I just knew I was going to be like the next greatest, you know, Jen Johnson, mm-hmm. and was just banking on it, and then went through a divorce, just had to get a big girl job. You know, I was just working like a desk job. And then my son showed me Snapchat and I just got on there and found the dumbest, ugliest filter I could find. And then on a dare, put a stupid video on social media.
On a dare? Was it really a dare?
On a dare. Cause you know, I was a grown woman in my 40s.
Who dared you?
And so
that's the question.
My pastor's daughter, my friend, of course. And so I did
it. On Snapchat.
I mean, and then here we are. People started thinking, you know, I started a fan page because this blogger wanted to share my video and told me I needed to start a fan page because I was going to get a lot of followers and I didn't want people seeing, you know, my kids and all this stuff. I was a single mom. And so I started a fan page. I was mortified to do it. Mm-hmm. And it hit like 2 million in 2 months.
Crazy.
And people thought I was a comedian. And I'm like, I told my girlfriends, I'm like, I'm not a comedian. And they're like, but you're so dumb. You could do this. Like, you can do it.
Yeah.
And so
thanks.
I did. And
you're like, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I quit my job and went on the road. And yeah, here we are.
Yeah.
So it was a really weird transition, but one that, like, I begged God, please do not let me be known for this filter. I can't. I'm I've already been humbled enough in my life.
Yeah.
You know, like, please no.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, it's, yeah,
it's
you're
this.
Doing it. And so here we are on your podcast.
Yeah.
9 years later. So I don't know.
That's so funny. Well, I'm
just
not
rolling with
I'm
it.
Not here to talk about the filter.
Dare.
There's one thing that I like, I don't love talking about. It's, the one thing that people might know me for or not for, or you're just like, hey man, I have a rich tapestry of a life.
Right. I'm bigger than that.
Trust me. Thank you.
I appreciate
it. So, you don't have to talk about this if you're not comfortable with it at all, but what I'm curious about is there's a window there in your life that you kind of glossed over real fast where you said you got a divorce, you stopped being a worship pastor and you got a big girl job. Were those Did those relate to each other? Did you quit being a worship pastor because you got a divorce, or those and people didn't weren't comfortable with that, or it was like, you know, because I know that sometimes
was
they're
it just
like
a money thing.
Was it a money thing? Was it a what? Right. Was there an A and B relation? And then what was the big girl job? I'm curious of what that was too. Tell me about that season. Those are the seasons I like.
So, right. Those the ones we try to hide.
Yeah.
Actually. Yes, ish to all of that. I had actually gone through, I was a worship leader at a church for almost 10 years in near Amarillo, Texas. And we had a huge church split. And so I was already kind of not leading worship. But I had made a worship album with a buddy of mine. His name is Jared Anderson, and he lived out in Colorado Springs. So we ended up moving to Colorado Springs just kind of for a new start. I was homeschooling my kids. Yes, I was that mom, and I was not good at it.
Man, Andy.
I wanted to die every day.
our producer, who's in production and homeschooling, he's joining the dinner.
Oh,
I'm gonna wait for an Easter egg coming in a little bit, because I saw something, but we're going to move on, but I'm going to come back to another
question. Okay.
Oh, wait. So homeschooled for a while, and then I was married for 14 years, and I like to joke that it was bad for about 14 years. The whole time it was really hard. And so I finally just, I just couldn't anymore. Yeah. There was a lot there. And we have a great co-parenting relationship, so I don't get into that too much. Mm. But I left and did not have a job, did not have any money, had doctor bills and debt and all the things. Because, you know, churches, you know, they don't pay you a whole lot. Let's just say that. And so we didn't have a ton. And moved me and my kids in with a girlfriend for a few months, and all my friends rallied around me and were like, okay, you got to get a job. Like we got to, and I'm just like deer in the headlights. You know, I'm like, I never thought I was going to be a single mom. And, luckily I had child support coming in. I have to say that always, which was great, but I had to get a job. And so my first job was working as a receptionist for a screen printing company in Colorado Springs. And these people just, it was a family owned business, and they just scooped me up and loved on me. And so it was more just like necessity. I was singing for a buddy of mine, the guy that I told you about, at some different churches. And I was still doing some worship at my church. And I thought that I was going to be really shunned, because that's how I grew up, you know, like, we didn't talk about divorce, and nobody leaned into that subject, and it was always very taboo. And I remember looking at him and saying, hey, you know, I'm going through a divorce. And he was like, I'm really sorry. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, and I was like, and you probably don't want me singing with you anymore. And he's like, why?
Yeah.
Something wrong with your throat. And I was like, no, I'm going through a divorce. He's like, I'm so sorry about that. That has nothing to do with whether or not you should be, you know, singing for the Lord. And I was like, and all the people around me had that same bend to them. They just, they were accepting. They loved me. And so I worked for a while in Colorado, and then felt like I needed to move back home to Tennessee. Mm. And so me and my kids, we moved home. And I just started working a desk job for a guy who's now a very dear friend to me. And I was sort of the company's refinancer, for lack of a better word. I did not know what I was doing. He kind of taught me. And worked in this really sweet little environment for a couple of years until all this craziness blew up. So, that was a long answer to...
No, that's
it shouldn't have been, but
mean, it's fascinating.
Wow. Like, again, those are like the crevice stories that you're like, what happened in there? But it's like, it is a crevice, but you know, and when you're climbing a rock, a crevice is where you get your grip. And that's what you were doing that season, you know?
It's true. And I still did get to lead worship. I led worship at my home church, and it was a faith-based, company that I was working for. And so I would lead worship at staff meetings, and, you know, so I was still getting to kind of use that muscle and do what I'd always known while traversing this new, you know, terrain of single mom life and what is happening to my life. So it was really a sweet season for me looking back.
That's really nice.
Wow.
I was just going to say, have you heard this? Amy Poehler on her podcast was talking with Brandi Carlile about musicians want to be comics and comics want to be musicians. And you're both.
I guess so. I don't know. It's so weird. It's just weird.
Yeah.
I'm like, comedy, what? But yeah, I mean, I guess I've been an idiot for a long time.
Been on stage. Yeah.
You just do it in front of people.
Yeah.
Right. And I have this gift, I think, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, of just like a minute ago when you said, if you don't want to talk about this, I'm like, there's nothing I don't
talk about.
Yeah. I'm willing to talk about all of it. And that really does translate into comedy. So I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's. Sometimes there's like a desire to perform, but then also sometimes you're just in, I keep gumming, like the title of comedian or not, it doesn't, that's like a, like there's different versions of that, but again, you're the common theme here is like, you're making stuff, you're making content, you're making
creating music.
And you know, worship music and comedy, those are things that you need a stage for. You know,
right.
So, you know, it's sometimes I think in comedy, people who don't enjoy comedy or might judge it that they think you just need attention. And don't get me wrong, there's plenty of people that, and there's plenty of me that, but the main thing is like, this is the only version of this. I have to have a crowd. I don't even know if this is good unless I have a crowd.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you find out real quick, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, with social media, and you know this because you're bigger on there than I am, like you, there can be a little lull if whether or not it's well received. And stand up,
it's immediate.
It's immediate. And, you know,
it's immediate.
They'll just, sometimes they'll stare at you like they don't even realize you delivered the punchline. You're like, nope, that was it.
Right.
That
was. You're like, okay, not doing that one again.
All right. So. No, that was the end of that joke. So,
right. But as you know, leading or being a youth pastor, you know, with leading worship, I could get up there and just be terrible, but you don't know. You know, nobody's going to tell you your sermon was really off today. You know, like you don't know.
No.
But when you bomb a joke, you know.
They know. Yeah. They we all know it's tough. And you're just like, oh, man, I've been doing this a long time. I really thought I got good at this. all right. Well, this is I had this question in advance, but now there's an interesting maybe kind of. Wrinkle in it, and that you know, what are you? My thought is like, how old are your kids?
23 and 19.
Okay, so they were in school kind of for the rise of your social media. What have your but your kids introduced you to Snapchat? What do your kids think about, particularly because we have teenagers and social media is such a currency to them, and here you are. Like my daughter last
going
night,
viral.
I were talking about. She's like, "Oh my gosh, you almost got 400K on Instagram. That's crazy, Dad." Like, but here you are, this huge social media presence. Does that? Do they like it? Are they apathetic about it? Do they hate it? Do they?
Don't care at all.
Yeah, just totally apathetic.
Oh yeah, they're like, "What?" When this first started happening, my son was like, "Oh God, are you serious?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And then I went out on my first bus tour, and they came out, and they're like. Okay, this is kind of cool. You know,
there were snacks backstage.
I mean, my daughter loves doing merch and hospitality. She's great with people. And my son's super witty. They both are very sharp and witty and sarcastic. And so I think they relate in that way. But, you know, they come to my shows some, and I think they're proud of me, but they wouldn't say that, you know, I think they're probably more mortified than anything, but, I also think that I'm pretty much the same on stage and at home. I don't feel like I'm much of a performer. I'm just up there telling stories and being dumb. And I'm like that at home. And so I don't think it's a big jump for them. I think they're like, you're just an idiot. All the time, and now you get paid for it. Good for you. You know, they're not impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are your kids? Mm-hmm. How old are your kids?
I'm like, ugh.
No, 18, 16, and 12.
12.
Yeah. Dang, y'all look so young.
Oh, thank you.
We had our kids really young.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. As you do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As we do.
Yeah.
Are they impressed? Oh, sorry.
The little one on the Nateland cruise, she...
Oh, yeah.
She wanted to be backstage. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And then she would like run and give Dustin hugs, you know, not on stage, but like when he was talking with comics, she'd be like,
yeah, she wanted to be in the mix.
And she did like the VIP seating.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's so cute. I love that.
Yeah.
Fun. I think that the social media aspect of it, you know, all our, you know, our teens, our two oldest are all on social media. And so, you know, it's like, you know, you're sending videos and reels and TikToks and stuff to each other.
Yeah.
It does come up every once in a while where they'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, our dad, you know, our friend saw your video, dad, or our friend saw your TikTok.
They send it to
I think they kind of like it, you know, but what the funny thing about it is, kids think that that amounts to like their peers think that it amounts to crazy amounts of wealth. Like they think like your dad has
like,
this,
we should have a mansion.
We should be like the richest people. They don't. And you're like, hey, there's no money in social media. Like, I mean, like
there's not. And I'm like, hey, we're still hanging on to our 2.9% locked interest rate from 7 years ago.
Yeah.
There's a strategy to this, and we're not billionaires. Mm-hmm.
The engineer dad is doing much better than me. That's why they have
He's
a Tesla.
Got a consistent paycheck.
Yeah.
We don't. Yeah. You get. Listen, I went through a season. Really, for a couple years, I'm in menopause. I know you didn't want to know that, Dustin, but
it's on Heather.
Melissa's coming for you.
No, Heather. Perimenopause is half my new hour. This is my whole.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your perspective. My husband is like, what is happening? But it's, I don't even know what I was going to say anymore because
there was a season.
We were talking about being broke.
Yeah. Things were tight.
Again, unsure.
It's gone.
Unsure what I was going to say.
It disappeared into the mist.
But, so now you know I'm in perimenopause.
We were excited to hear it, but maybe it'll come back.
It'll come back. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't.
I'll give your husband a phrase that I've adopted, and I use it in the act right now, but it's not a punchline. So it's because my house is a woman in perimenopause and then two daughters who are in puberty. And so, you know, it's a hostile environment.
It's a lot.
But I give all the women in my house the biological benefit of the doubt, which is like, it's so funny. It was a line that I put in my act a while back and I stopped doing. And then I open a lot for Taylor Tomlinson, and Taylor goes, hey, that you got to put that in your act. That's going to like help people. And and I realized that was like the idea, the basic idea of it is like the big reactions and the highs and the lows is just about your body. It's not about you. It's not about.
It's just a hormone roller
coaster. It's just like things are spiking. Mm-hmm.
Oh, things are. I can't wait for dinner.
Crashing. Yeah. Things are getting hotter. They're getting colder. Biological benefit of the doubt. Don't respond. It's not about you.
Don't
still
respond.
Hurts. Yeah, it still hurts, but.
I remember what I was going to say. I was going to say a couple of years ago, I'm much better now. I'm on anti-anxiety medication that saved my life. But for a while, I started going through menopause and was kind of depressed. And I'm like, what is happening? My kids, you know, are gone. Mm-hmm. I'm like, everything was about my children. Now I'm an empty nester. And what is my life? And so I wasn't on the road much. I didn't feel well. And when you are not on the road, this was about the money talk. Mm-hmm. Kids don't understand that. Like, I'm not over here getting rich from Instagram. I'm not work. Mm-hmm. I'm unemployed until I am employed again, until I get back on the road. I'm not working. So you're not, you don't get all the things.
No.
Yeah. So, no. Shoes, the Starbucks.
Let me tell you about that TikTok creator fund. It's not much.
Listen, and it's not. But I don't know if you guys watch The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. I'm like, give me some of that.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
do they have?
Yeah.
They're like zillionaires.
Yeah.
But they're out dancing, you know, too old for that.
I don't know. I haven't watched the show, but in my experience, a lot of the time, the big influencer who lives that life, there's a paycheck coming from somewhere else. There's a spouse or a partner or a dad or a mom or a family or a lawsuit or
born into money lawsuit.
Yeah. Something.
Right. Good point. Good point.
Like, oh,
nothing
how'd you
is
get
ever
that?
As it seems.
Yeah. How'd you get that? Oh, you got hit by a car. Got it. All right. That's how.
right. Oh, you had a settlement. Okay.
Yeah. So
you divorced a millionaire. Okay. I got it.
Well, this segues a little bit into. So this will come out right around. This will come out the Thursday. It'll be Mother's Day this Sunday.
Mother's Day weekend. Mother's
are
Day.
You? Yeah. Where do your kids live in relation to? Are you guys close? Are you spread out?
Yeah. My 23-year-old son, his name's Noah. He just got married. We live in Mount Juliet outside of Nashville.
Yeah.
He lives in Nashville, so very close. This is more of an answer than you wanted, but my 19-year-old daughter. It has been in rehab for a year and she was kind of into some shenanigans last year and we felt like she needed some attention. And so we sent her to a program, a girls program, in West Tennessee. And she stayed on her own and she's been there 11 months. She graduates next month. She is doing amazing. They're both wonderful kids. She has decided to stay there. She's going to go through the program again. So that she can then hopefully work there and mentor other girls.
Aww.
So, it's a crazy story. But so she's two and a half hours from me. I get to see her like a couple times a month. So,
yeah.
They're both great. They're both doing great.
They're both doing great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's got to, so what's,
Yeah, you can ask me anything.
No,
okay.
I mean, I was just thinking about, you know, your son's close to you, your daughter's a couple hours away, but in a, you know, kind of a, you know, a bit of a situation, you know, like a unconventional.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, yeah,
she's in college.
Your Mother's Days and holidays, I mean, they're very different now than they used to. You've raised kids, you've been a single mom, you've been married, like... Yeah. Is there like a heaviness, a somberness to like holidays or, you know, now? Does that change,
it's
you know,
question.
the menopause adding to that as well? I ask on, behalf of a woman.
Reframe this.
How the holidays can get harder for you as you go.
So Easter was my first holiday without my son home. He's a freshman in college. And it was, you know, like he was home a couple days, but he left Thursday, gave him his Easter basket.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm
he didn't
so
need
sorry.
It. But, you know, right. like you're like, I got him. I'm your mom.
Of
you
course.
Know? And I understand this because, like, I have friends who had one kid and now they're 18 and they're out. So they, I've emptied the empty nest era, you know, through my friends. Some of my friends have just started that phase. So it's kind of what you've already touched on. It's such a big transition. And so going into Mother's Day in this new era, what do you recommend for moms that are in the same spot as you? How to embrace it, you know, stay positive.
Medication.
Yeah.
Daddy meds. Hormone therapy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Coke Zero.
Currently, right now. Man, I don't know if I have good advice. I can just tell you my experience, which is, it's so sad, I think, for me, letting my kids be grown, letting them, like it's, you know, I've given them this gift of being grown. But I think as a single mom, I put so much into my kids that it maybe, I don't know that it feels different for me, but I mean, I have some friends that are empty nesters and they're loving their life. So I don't know if that's made it a little different for me, but I will say that last year on Mother's Day, my daughter was in such a bad way. She walked into the house on Mother's Day, looked at me and walked out. Like she didn't even say happy. She was just in a bad spot. This year, you know, she's going to come home for Mother's Day. I'm going to get to see her. Even though she's not physically with me all the time, I have so much peace knowing that she has so much peace. Mm. So it's okay. You know, my son, he's close to me, but he has now three families that he has to split time with. So sometimes I think it's even harder. I'm like, oh, you were at your dad's the other day? How come you're not coming to my house? You know, like I could get in the weeds with that kind of stuff if I'm not careful. So I think I'm just now trying to focus on my kids are happy. My kids are doing awesome. I'm going to take them when I can get them. And people keep reminding me like, hey, your kids are awesome because you were their parent. Like you raised them to be great. And okay, your daughter got a little sideways, but look at her now. Like that was her journey and it was necessary. And so I'm trying to just be, at peace knowing that they're where they're supposed to be. And I'm just trying to stay positive in that way. So,
well, and I think
no good advice, but
no, that is good advice. Stay positive.
Yeah. And accepting and gratefulness for their healthy and their, you know, becoming adults.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the goal always was. Yeah.
That's right. And also to get my eyes off of that, I'm like, pushing my son and daughter-in-law to have me a baby so that I can start over and have something to do.
We're
some little tiny clothes.
Yeah. It's, get some onesies around here.
That's right. But let me be able to send them back home when it's over.
We are not in that season yet.
No, we're still doing sixth grade math homework.
You're not looking for babies.
No. If we got a pregnancy announcement, it would have a different emotion.
Oh, yeah. I bet it would. Let's not even entertain that. Though.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's great, though. I think, nothing, parenthood just like forms you, you know, and to be at a stage where you're like, no, I'm going to embrace who my kids are, what they're doing, and, you know, be grateful, you know?
Yeah.
Well, on a holiday, that can be hard, you know?
It is hard. And as you're saying it, I'm like, oh, it makes me sound so great. But the truth is, I think I got here because I didn't do that for a long time, you know, and I let it depress me and I let it get me sideways. And so I think gratitude comes after the lack of gratitude, you know, like learned it the hard way. So
perspective is unfortunately learned, you know.
Yeah.
True.
Through mistakes.
So true.
Years. Yeah,
it's true. Yeah.
I do think that this will be the first, I mean, in a lot of ways you guys are the first generation of like moms, and I'll be first generation of dads and parents together who do speak openly about, this was really hard when my kids left the house because we revolved our lives around them. Whereas previously you had a generation of parents that were like, get out of my house, I'm done,
right?
You know,
right.
Or you did have parents that were like mourning it, but they just didn't have like the EQ and it wasn't as
tools,
or they just didn't talk about it. So it is
they didn't talk about a lot.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, like, you know, you are pioneering this of your, like, you know, I mean, even when we're talking about like menopause and perimenopause, you're like, you're going to hit this stage where your kids leave your house, your body's going through this crazy transition, you know, you're this whole new season of life that just hasn't been spoken about. So it is, you know, you're helping other people just by being like, this was hard, you know, and you feel, I mean, we were talking yesterday about stuff. You're like, there just can be an immense loneliness to that aspect of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Social media, I think, has helped with being able to talk about it. And, you know, maybe our parents would have done better if they had social media. I don't know. It does make it easier to talk about. But really what I just took away from what you said is that we go through a lot. And what are you going through, Dustin? Because it just feels like you guys just get a free pass in life. And meanwhile, we're over here trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
And not kill somebody.
You know? I'm trying. I'm going through trying not to get killed. That's
okay, fair enough.
By your heart.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
No, I won't. I won't pretend to have a similar struggle in any way whatsoever. I'm just here to help, here to support in any way that I can, here to be an advocate, And, you know.
Here to stay quiet.
Here to stay quiet.
Keep your mouth closed.
No. Shut your mouth. Oh, yeah.
No.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, not to be, this is going to be, sound incredibly pretentious, but hear me out. And I was talking to Mel about this. I was talking to Taylor about this a little bit. Like, I do go, I mean, in this special that we just recorded in this new hour too, you just go, tell me these things. Let me see how I can make them funny. And then go talk about them and help normalize mm-hmm. them. Because the one thing, I'm good at one thing and one thing only, and that's words. I'm good. Mm. I'm good at talking. That's all I got. And
That's okay. That's enough.
Yeah. So this special that I have coming out, and it's like Andy edited. I mean, it's 20% gynecology. I mean,
yeah. Man, can't wait for your expertise.
Yeah. No. Well, and that's just the revelation. It came from one of Melissa going. Mm-hmm. She just and I'm not going to go any further. It just came from me understanding. We just one day she goes, yeah, they had to use the clamps, and I go, excuse me. Yeah. Those have never been in my. There's been no clamps in my appointment, so.
Exactly.
So there's no expertise.
But it is very funny and relatable.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is I'm learning, and it's it's an exceedingly difficult life stage, and I'm thankful for voices like both of yours that are like, hey, this is hard, so less women and particularly moms just feel alone in it, because it feels like a lonely stage, you know, that
it
just isn't getting spoken
it
about.
Is. Yeah. And for me, it's like, let's see how much we can laugh about it so that we don't curl up in the fetal position in the corner of a room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
helpful.
Or maybe
looking forward to your special, by the
way. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that to turn into self-promotion.
No. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And we're looking. So your Nate Land will be out this Sunday. It's coming out on Mother's Day.
Where did you film?
It'd be the Zanies.
Where did I film?
Did you film at Zanies?
Yeah, at the lab.
Oh, in the lab. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How was that experience for you?
It was great. I mean, you know, I get nervous every time I perform. It's just, I don't know. It's every time. But I feel like maybe that's a good thing, you know, like it keeps me sharp. I don't know if it does. You can watch it and tell me if it was sharp or not. But
you seem
nervous. Think it's a good thing. Yeah, right. You were really on edge. I'm always nervous. I think I get, probably shouldn't say this out loud for the masses, but you know, I get nervous around my peers, you know, because I think there's so many people who have been pounding the pavement for decades. And, you know, I think here I come on Instagram, you know, and now you're a comedian, and nobody has ever said that to me. But I just wonder if like, that's a thought. And so I feel like, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have as much of a place, or, I still think, you know, I mean, I can be funny just like anybody else that's a comedian, but yeah, I just feel like sometimes a little undeserving. And so I think I feel nervous in front of, people who have been doing it a long time, and people who've been in the club scene. Clubs still scare me. Every time I do Zanies, I'm like, you know, about to throw up.
Right.
I hope that'll end one day. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if it makes you feel any better, I think that there's two types of people in comedy. There's the person who feels like they deserve even more than they got. And not only did they earn it, they deserve more than they got. And then there's the larger group of stand-up comedians which have massive imposter syndrome. And there are some of the biggest names in comedy are that way. And they're just like, how did this, I don't, what? You know, just because, you know, because you can, it's very easy to discredit yourself. It's very easy to be like, well, they only like it because this bit or this social media thing, or I'm a hack or whatever it may be. In my experience, almost all of us feel some version of that. And if you're worried about your peers talking about you, they are talking about you, and they're talking about all of us, and every single every single no green room is every stand-up talking about every stand. We talk about comics and stand-up and airports and hotels, and that's about it. And none of it means anything, and there's no such thing as having universal respect and love from other comics. We're we're a hard to please group.
I guess so.
Yeah, so. But
my husband says that he, you know, he's been in production for years and years, and he's he has, you know, stood side stage for a lot of great people. And he says even they walk off, you know, they command this stage and they're powerhouses, whether they're, you know, motivational speakers or musicians or what, preachers. But that so many of them immediately when they walk off the stage are like, did I do okay? And I'm like, maybe it's all up. Maybe it's all creative people who hold a microphone.
Oh, yeah. Others. I've seen.
It's like one joke didn't go the way it should.
We saw our friend here in San Diego play, and we loved his show. And he came up afterwards and he apologized. And he's like, I'm sorry, it was bad tonight. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? So, so what I'm saying is they're talking about you. They're talking about me. They're talking about, you know, they're talking about Seinfeld. They're talking about Chris Rock. They're talking about every single one of them.
Yeah.
And you just got to go up there and do whatever's funny to you, whatever's authentically you, you know.
Yeah, but you get some tough skin too.
I would
hope by now I'd have a little more.
When you find it, let me know where I can buy some, because I don't. So, well, thank you for your time. This has been really nice to chat with you, and congrats on all your success. And really happy for you. This has been nice to chat with you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening. We want to give a special shout out to our As Essential as Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Our highest givers, thank you so much. First off, Alex Foos and Sam Graham.
Avril Griffiths.
Allison Nelson.
Andy and Darlene Gerton.
Bonnie Galindo.
Brandon Schoenberger.
Brian and Amy Nagel.
Byron Smith.
Carrie Teague.
Chris Finn.
Christopher and Bridget Finland.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Eibling.
Cynthia Carpenter.
Demarius Diaz Stevens.
Daniel Owens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Debbie Klein.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jonathan Rivera.
Jordan Cowan or Cohen? Cowan, Jordan, I'm never sure. I'm sorry.
Juliana Smith.
Christy Harrod or Herod. I'm not sure. I'm covering my bases here. Hopefully not Herod, like, you know, King Herod. But, you know, people are getting a little extra on this one. Go ahead.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Nick Cordell.
Naomi Walker.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Restless Mosaic.
Robert and Nellie Capen.
Scott Elliott.
Stephen Mina.
Yvette Williams.
Zachary and Tammy Moyle.
Timothy Frey and Tiffany Payne. Thanks, everybody.